It is good to have you back on the program, and kind of a recap, because the last couple of days have been really exciting for us.
Yeah, we've been doing a lot.
We really have, and that's what we want to do, actually, to get the show jump-started. Of course, for those of you who listen to us every Saturday, you know you are more than welcome to get in on this conversation as well. You know the studio line. It's 336-680-9710. And Algernon, yesterday we had our 97.1 QMG voter drive.
Yes, and we had an excellent turnout.
Yes, we did.
And just want to make sure I take a moment and thank Greensboro.
That's right.
Because they came out, they supported us.
There
they,
you go.
They got registered to vote. And I'm happy to report that we have a little over 150 new registered voters. And we had an opportunity to sit down and talk to some of the younger adults that came through and registered, right, and asked them what was their motivation for wanting to get involved in the political process. And it was just exciting. I mean,
yeah,
it was sort of an exciting, little, you know, you felt like you were at one of those polls where they're celebrating the, the big win or something.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Buster Brown and Danielle were out there, and we broadcast it live yesterday afternoon.
Wonderful.
And people came through and supported us, and we took photos and signed autographs and
great,
all kind of stuff. So
great.
It was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. And I had a chance to listen to a little bit of it, and I can just hear the excitement coming through the airwaves.
Yeah.
With the number of people who showed out, and that's incredible, 150 people, and some of those probably registering, Algernon, to vote for the very first time.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much everyone was obviously registering for the first time,
mm-hmm,
but what I thought was great was just the amount of young people that came,
yeah,
over from North Carolina A&T and some,
right,
of the people that came down from UNCG. It was just great. I mean, the sort of the turnout that we had from in the immediate vicinity where we had the voter drive. It was awesome.
Wonderful. And again, 150 people. That's got to be exciting. And I'm excited because I made sure I got registered to vote myself, Algernon, before yesterday's deadline. So I'm good to go, as many of us hopefully are, come Tuesday, May the 6th. That is North Carolina's primaries. And hopefully some people actually take advantage, Algernon, of the early voting,
that's
which,
right,
starts on April the 17th.
That's right.
Through May 3rd.
That's right. And we were announcing some of that out at the voter drive yesterday.
Right.
But, you know, the other thing that I really enjoyed about what we did, there was a lot of elected officials that came out as well.
Right.
So it was a great opportunity for some of the newly registered voters to interact with the elected officials,
right,
at the site. And we had an opportunity for you to ask questions. We even had the voting machines out there so that if you never used a voting machine,
right,
you could go ahead and practice. So we made sure we got Buster on the voting machine because he's never used one.
Okay.
So
had to be an experience.
Exactly. So it was a tremendous amount of fun.
Great. And those new voting machines, really not as difficult as some people may think they are.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, well, we don't want any of the Florida incidents.
I was going to say, none of those hanging chads here.
This is an important election, so we want to make sure we have a clean race. So
absolutely. So really glad to hear that our QMG voter drive went very well, and hopefully just an encouragement for some other people to continue to be fired up.
Exactly.
Come May 6th.
Exactly, because obviously on one spectrum, I mean, we've obviously getting a lot of people involved that are younger,
yes,
into the political process,
mm-hmm,
this year. And I think that's what's so great about the election that we're going through. You know, whether you're Democrat, whether you're Republican, that's neither here nor there.
Absolutely.
But there's so many new voters that are getting involved. But also what I thought was intriguing about the voter drive yesterday was that we had a lot of older people who were registering for the first time to vote. And I mean, people that were in their 40s. And that was what, you know, when Busta and I was really talking about doing this, that was what we were really interested in trying to achieve, is to help everyone to realize that even if you're in your 40s or your 50s and you've never voted, it's not too late to get started. So there were, I mean, we had older gentlemen and younger people all mixed in together and everybody voting for the first time. So
that is excellent. And I think, Algernon, that also represents sort of a swing from the voter apathy that we've had pretty much in this country,
sure,
for the last 8 years.
Sure. Yeah.
Given the administration that we've been under. And it is indeed, as most of our Democratic nominees have been stressing, this is an election of change.
Yeah. On every election is a change.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It is, is a change. But for some reason, this one just kind of seems extra special for us.
Well, you think, I mean, who, no matter who actually wins the race,
mm-hmm,
I mean, we're going to have history set.
Exactly.
With Senator Obama, we could have, obviously, the first African-American president. With Senator Clinton, we could have the first woman president.
Exactly.
And even with Senator McCain, I mean, he would be the only president to be elected at his age, and he'd right. also be the first sitting senator that we've elected since Kennedy. So either way you look at it, whoever actually makes it in office, they're going to change history, and they are going to bring change. I mean,
absolutely.
Because with every election cycle, we have change. What I always tell people to make sure you're informed about is it the actual change that you want.
Exactly.
And, you know, right. on the show last Saturday with Joseph, and we missed Joseph, too. Joseph yeah. and I held it down last Saturday.
Oh, I know you did a good job. Too.
But we did have the third vice chair of the Guilford County Democratic Party, Ray Trapp, and then we also had the chairman of the Forsyth County Democratic Party on last Saturday, and was really just discussing why it's important for you to at least let your voice be heard.
Exactly.
And what I thought was really interesting is when State Senator Kay Hagan came by the 97-1 voter drive yesterday. She jumped on the air and she talked about an election, and I believe it was John F. Kennedy's election, where he actually won only by a few votes, one or two votes.
Yeah.
And we always say, well, you know, my voice doesn't count or my vote doesn't count. But if you don't actually cast that ballot, you just don't know the effect that you may be having in a political race. So you do have to at least try to make your voice be heard. So.
Absolutely. And what a comparison when we talk about the election of President Kennedy, and then we fast forward to 2008. We have a very tight presidential race. In fact, that's one of the great things, and I'm hoping for those who came to the voter drive yesterday are finding that not only are they registered voters now, Algernon, it's the fact that whenever they turn on the local or the national news,
sure.
they're really trying to get into that whole political process, in the sense that when I was watching the other night, they were talking about the polls in terms of the percentage points, mm-hmm. I should say, with Barack Obama and John McCain pretty much in a dead heat at 45%. And Hillary with a slight lead over John McCain by about plus or minus 3 percentage points.
Sure.
48-45%. So it's getting to be really tight down the wire.
It is.
Especially as we head into the November election to actually elect our next president of these United States.
I would agree with you. And just about every elected official that was at the 97-1 voter drive, when we said, what tip would you give some of these newly registered voters? And he said, be informed. I mean, be educated about the process and some of the issues yeah. that are going on out there. And it's not that difficult to get yeah. informed and be educated.
Yeah, not at all.
We have a, you know, a wonderful supply of books ranging from every topic that you can imagine. Mm-hmm. The internet is just a wealth of resources.
Right.
So it's not that difficult
in
our current environment to be informed. But what I would say is, don't get caught into the 24-hour news cycle. Don't just listen to the headline stories without actually looking a little deeper
exactly.
to see what they're talking about. You hear about so many different polls out here, and Hillary's leading in one poll and Obama's leading in another
right.
poll. So nobody knows what the polls mean.
Really, yeah.
So, I mean, you have to look a little deeper and say, okay, what are they actually using to come up with those polls? And, you know, one of the great things about Obama in this cycle, he's bringing so many new voters in.
Yeah.
He's really throwing the polls off. Because
yeah.
the polls will say one thing, but then the results are actually turning out different. So
that's true. And
so,
I think that's an excellent idea. Kind of do a little research on your own and find out what, like you say, kind of go a little bit deeper as to what you're hearing and seeing
sure.
on the news.
Exactly. Because we got into a debate yesterday about the feds doing the backstop for Bear Stearns, or basically coming to the rescue of that deal.
Right.
And there was a comment made about it was corporate welfare. When in reality, I mean, it really wasn't corporate welfare, because they didn't use any taxpayer money. The way the feds are set up, they're not based on taxpayer money. And they didn't actually supply the money. They only supplied a backstop against losses. So if you've seen the headline, you think one thing because you just saw the headline.
Right.
But if you actually did a little bit of research and looked a little bit further into the deal, then you know, okay, this is actually what they're doing. So you just want to be an informed voter.
Exactly.
That's all.
Exactly. And glad that we have outlets, not only as part of our QMG voter drive yesterday, but we've got this outlet this morning to kind of recap. And it would be nice, hopefully, Algernon, if not right now, at some point in the program, for the length of time that we remain on the air, I would love to hear from those who became first-time registered voters.
That would be great.
That would be great.
If we have some out there.
That's right. Yeah. So if you're one of those individuals, we certainly would love to hear from you this morning at 336-680-9710. But because we kind of want to transition into some other topics of discussion right now, Algernon, and that is to also talk about what you're going to be doing this upcoming Wednesday. You're going to be making a presentation on the campus of Winston-Salem State University.
I am. North Carolinians, against violence, they're basically hosting a lie-in next Wednesday at Winston-Salem State University. Mm-hmm. And it's essentially designed to commemorate what happened at the University of Virginia with the students that got killed on campus. And it's to draw attention and draw awareness to some of the violence that's going on in our community. And we're actually going to have Sharon Andrews on here within the hour as well. And she's from the Simon G. Atkins Community Development Corporation. She's going to talk a little bit more in detail about what the event is about. But, you know, just segueing from, you know, talking about letting your voice be heard and talking about violence in the community, we are reaching a critical point as far as the level of violence in our community. And I think our elected officials, as well as our police officers and those that are charged with protecting us, they're trying to figure out what do we do about it? You know, how do we start to prevent some of the violence? And obviously, you know, there's some people that says, hey, we should restrict access to guns, and we need more police protection, we need more legislation. And I'm just one of those that really feel like it's not so much about the externalities as much as it is about the internal behavior of an individual.
Exactly.
And you can restrict access to guns and you can create more legislation, but if you don't really take the time to help people change internally, right, and to become more focused and more and purpose-driven and compassionate, well, they're still going to commit murders and violent acts. So, you know, that's a little bit about, you know, what I'm going to be talking about next Wednesday. And Busta's also going to be speaking with me, and we're going to be at the clock tower at Winston-Salem State University. So
fantastic. Wonderful. You know what, Algernon, this is just the old school in me, in that I kind of revert and think back to the days of our old neighborhood watches, when we had neighbors who really had your back on a lot of things, especially if you were that type of neighbor. If you're going to be out of town, for instance, for a period of time, you had somebody that was checking your mail, somebody was checking your newspaper, somebody was just kind of keeping an eye on things, to where if anything, the least little bit of anything looked suspicious, you know, you got in contact with your neighbor and say, you know, I'm just watching out for you to make sure things are okay. And it would be nice to kind of go back to that. That's what that reminds me of when we think about how violence in our neighborhoods have escalated. Because one of the troubling situations, of course, is the increase of gangs and what our young people being involved in these gangs and the violence that that entails, especially when you have a person who is at a loss. You know, they're into that peer pressure and they can't quite find that acceptance with their individual or their group of peers.
Exactly.
And so here's a gang that welcomes them with open arms. Unfortunately, it comes at a price. But those are just one of the issues that revolve around that. And then it becomes a question of, well, can we get to this person in time, especially given the age of that individual?
Exactly.
And it's not just the males. I mean, there's a rise of a lot of females out there who are being initiated and are members of gangs as well.
Well, you know, Renee, you make a good point about why they actually go into the gangs. I am absolutely convinced that these kids don't go into gangs because they're driven to be violent, or they just want to commit crimes. Right. I don't think that's really internally a part of them. I think they're searching for something they're not getting from home. Some kind of support network, or some kind of compassion that they're not able to get from home, or some kind of relationship that they're not able to get from home. So I really think that all of us are in a position to prevent gun violence, to prevent violence in general, not just gun violence, but domestic violence or any type of violent acts. But I just don't always believe that more legislation, more laws and more rules and just more police on every corner is the way to go about doing it.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I came up in a sort of a neighborhood where we would have called it a village.
Exactly.
And everyone sort of looked out for everyone else. And I came up in a very violent neighborhood. But I did not choose to go be a part of a gang or participate in violence, and mainly because I just had that support network. So,
exactly. And it would really be nice if we can get those villages to step up.
It would be.
Yeah,
it would be.
It really would. 336-680-9710. Good morning and welcome to Community Focus. How are you?
Good morning, Renee.
Good morning, dear.
I'm glad to hear your voice again.
Well, thank you. It's good to be back.
Okay. I've been praying for you.
Well, thank you, dear. I appreciate it.
Hey, Algernon.
Hey there, how are you?
I'm good. I live in a community that does community watch, believe it or not.
Okay.
Good.
And we're elderly and disabled, but we have, it's so nice to be around somebody. If somebody comes to my house that these people don't know, they will call me.
Exactly.
And say, Michelle, somebody was at your door and I don't know who that was. It is so, so nice. And everybody need to be that way. When I lived across town, and we had this thing called National Night Out, where everybody got together and talked about people being their big brother or their big sister or looking out for each other.
Exactly.
And we really, really, really need to get back
to that.
Because we have substations now, police substations, and these people will come out and talk to communities about Community Watch. And somebody needs to tell other residents about it, because I don't believe that a lot of people know that.
That's true.
But I agree with you. I mean, you rarely find most neighborhoods nowadays where they still do the kind of police watch.
It's like it's just
kind
of faded away over the years, in a sense.
It has. And I think, but you know, I think that's also representative of sort of the new social fabric that we have in America, where a lot of neighbors just aren't connected like they used to be.
Exactly.
I mean, we live in more of a digital kind of age, so you don't, you know, you may not go outside and actually network and socialize with your neighbor as much as you did 10 or 15 or 20 years ago. So there's sort of been somewhat of a deterioration of our social fabric in America, and that obviously leads to things like this where we don't come together to protect our own neighborhoods any longer. So,
because back in the day, we actually had, and even though we may not have liked it as much back then, we always had that one nosy neighbor
who
was always peeking at the curtains trying to figure out what was going on.
You stayed in more trouble because of that one neighbor.
Exactly. But then, you know, we're in 2008, again, a situation where violence is on the increase. And it's a lot of our young people. It's a lot of middle-aged people. And you even have crimes being committed by older adults as well. And then you kind of figure out, well, where is that nosy neighbor when you need him or her?
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
because I live in the community where Ms. Thomas got killed at, right up the street. And I was wondering that day, didn't somebody see something?
Yeah.
Didn't somebody hear something?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, this is a 70-year-old lady in a hat shop that has been there for years, and nobody saw nothing, and Lowe's had just opened.
Right.
And, you know, and that actually, what Michelle is referring to actually sort of highlights another issue that we're having in our communities right now, where we're afraid to snitch.
Snitching.
And that's another big thing that's going on. We actually talked about that on the afternoon thing one day. And, you know, Danielle made a good point about the fact that snitching is really an honor amongst thieves.
Right.
And if you are a concerned neighbor or a concerned resident, you shouldn't feel as if you're snitching. You're actually preventing and protecting your community. So that's another thing. I mean, a lot of people are afraid to call their police and tell them.
Yeah, they're scared that when you call the police will say, well, can I have your name? I'm not scared to tell you who I was.
Right.
But a lot of people will be like, no, don't come to my house. I just call them to tell. I'm telling.
And that, exactly. And that's just a whole other subject altogether is that feeling of fear and being afraid. And no one should have to live like that.
You know, because I reiterate to these elderly people, do not open your door.
Yeah.
If you don't know these people.
Exactly.
Don't sign nothing because you don't know what you're signing. You know, because people are just mean. I hate to say they're mean. And they prey on elderly and disabled people.
Exactly.
But I guess I'm just a different kind of person. I ain't scared, and I won't tell it.
And we appreciate you for that. But really, bottom line, Algernon and Michelle, is that this is really a different world for us now.
It is. We are definitely living in a different time, as my grandmother used to say. Often.
Exactly.
That's right.
That's right. That's right. Well, Michelle, as always, darling, we appreciate your input. It's good
to
hear from you. And again, thank you so much
for
the prayers.
I'm going to say this over the airwaves now.
Yeah.
Come to the Heritage Festival.
It's
downtown this weekend.
This weekend.
Saturday and Sunday. We're going to be down there all over Greensboro. Come visit my quilting tent. We're going to have a wonderful, wonderful time.
That's right.
And Renee, I'm glad to hear you back.
Thank you, dear.
Algernon, I'm going to meet you sooner or later.
All right. It's good to hear from
you,
Michelle.
I've been coming to bust the show, but I ain't got there yet.
But it's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
That's
and
right.
And y'all have a blessed Saturday.
You too.
You take care,
that's right. And spend the weekend with the quilt lady. That's my girl, Michelle. You take care,
darling.
All right, dear.
Hey, bye.
Bye-bye. Algernon, let's take our first break of the morning, and then we'll come back and pick up with our great conversation that we have going on, 336-680-9710, the weekend edition of Community Focus, and I sure do appreciate your company, and it sure does feel good to be back, Algernon, right here on 97.1 QMG, the best R&B in old school, and $5,000 every day. And we're back. The best R&B in old school and $5,000 every day in the weekend edition of Community Focus. Again, Renee Vaughn, glad to be back along with Algernon Cash. Algernon actually with Warden Gladden, LLC. But Algernon, of course, always offering some excellent advice with Busta Brown inside the afternoon thing. Tuesdays, of course, Algernon is your day.
That's right.
That people
right.
can tune in here to 97.1 QMG and just get some not only good financial advice, but your involvement in the community, which is what we're focusing on as we're back from commercial break. And you just touched on this a little bit before we went to break about this upcoming Wednesday. You're making a presentation at Winston-Salem State University about violence in our communities. And it's a pleasure to have us joining you and me, Algernon, on the phone this morning. Sharon Andrews is with the Simon G. Atkins CDC Vigils for Healing. Sharon, good morning, and how are you?
Good morning. I'm wonderful. How are you all?
Doing good, and thank you for taking a time out early on your Saturday. I know it's the
thank
weekend.
Thank you for inviting me.
Well, I have to give thanks to Algernon, because without him, I don't think you and I would be here today.
And she's a trooper, because I called her this morning at 5:30 on my way into the station. So she's been up. She's been ready. So
well, bless your heart. Well, Sharon, again, we just thank you for being on the program and really just kind of giving our listeners who are tuning into Community Focus some insight, because some may or may not be aware of what Vigils for Healing is. It's actually an interfaith community ministry. It's comprised of volunteer clergy and laity under the guidance of an advisory group, and you call on the power of God and a caring community to promote healing for anyone affected by murder.
Yes, we are our volunteer entity. We do go to the sites where the victims are murdered to do some closure and have a memorial for that person. And it's really a great thing for the family members because they start, it's a healing process.
Exactly.
And at that vigil, most family members start to heal. However, the vigils that we are having on Wednesday for the Virginia Tech students, it's along the same line as the as our Vigils for Healing, but it's a separate entity. On April 16th, that day, there will be a national lie-in. Actually, it will be in several states. There will also be a lie-in that day at UNCG in Greensboro, UNC Wilmington, and UNC Chapel Hill. And, of course, the great Winston-Salem State also will be doing a lie-in that day.
Wonderful. Sharon, if you don't mind me asking, as far as you being a volunteer, how did your personal involvement with this come into play?
Personally, my personal involvement, actually, I love people. People are my passion. Mm-hmm. And when the opportunity arose, what better way to get out in the community to advocate violence and gun violence? This could have been Winston-Salem State students with 32 people lying on campus.
That's true. Yeah.
So basically, and it's being sponsored by Simon Green Atkins Community Development Corporation. Of course, we're in the community, and we want to treat the community as a holistic approach. That means the entire community, not just a certain section of the community.
Right.
And violence in our communities is something that we need to address and get on board.
Absolutely.
And that's a great point.
That
address
is.
And get on board and bring awareness. And I'm actually a board member, new board member with Vigils for Healing. So still trying to figure out completely what my
right.
responsibilities are. But one of the things that I've been doing for Vigils in the past is we whenever they do have the Vigils, I've actually said a few words or did a little talk at some of the vigils. And it's interesting because I don't believe, without getting involved with them last year, I don't believe I would have started paying as much attention to some of the violence in our
That's
communities
really
because I think it's very easy for us to walk around with blinders on and
exactly.
we sort of have tunnel vision.
Right.
And we don't really notice all the time some of the things that are going on around us. I mean, I've got some interesting statistics here. In 1 year, more than 100,000 people in America were shot in murders, assaults, suicides, accidents, or by police intervention. In 1 year, more than 20,500 American children and teens were shot in murders, assaults, suicides, accidents, or by police intervention. And every day, 280 people in America, 56 of them being children and teens, are shot by murders, assaults, suicides, accidents, or police intervention. So it's happening all around us.
Exactly.
We just don't always see it.
That's true. Absolutely. And again, Sharon and Algernon, thank you for your involvement with this. And Sharon, I think you said it best. because I remember when, just like you said, Algernon, when we're on the internet or we're listening to the radio or we're watching television and we just see those news headlines, and I saw that there was a shooting at Virginia Tech. At first, it didn't really register with me.
Yeah.
But as that day progressed and that individual, that student, was going around just at random, just shooting people, and next thing you knew, the body count, unfortunately, was starting to rise.
Yeah.
And before, you know, it all came to an end, 32 individuals, including himself, which I'd never quite understand that, why a person feels they have to take someone else's life in the process,
yeah,
and then later shoot themselves. But Sharon, you said it best. It could have been a situation that could have happened on a campus such as Winston-Salem State University.
Right.
Or even in our current time, it could have happened at one of our high schools.
Exactly. And that's even, yeah, a greater fear of knowing, you know, could that be a Columbine,
yeah,
situation all over again?
That's exactly right. Sharon, can you go into a little bit more detail about the lie-in and sort of,
exactly,
what's going to occur that day? I know that I'm going to be out and Buster's going to be out. We're speaking that morning sometime,
right,
between 10:30 and 11:30.
Right.
But sort of what's the schedule of activities if people want to come out and join us?
Actually, we want people to come out and join. We want people to come out and get involved. And first of all, I want to say, when you come out to get involved, you're probably not going to be able to park on campus. Mm-hmm. Just park in our overflow at Bowman Gray and catch the shuttle up to campus,
okay,
which will be easier and more wonderful. But actually, Algernon, I have been just promoting this, and I've been on campus. And actually, the lie-in will start at 10:30 at Clock Tower.
Okay.
And also, we're going to have one of our council members, Jocelyn Johnson, will be there.
Wonderful.
And the drama department are going to actually act out the lie-in a little bit. And that's going to be directed by Avis Gray of the drama department at Winston-Salem State. And we're asking that everyone dress in black, if at all. If not, please just come as you are. That will be wonderful. And we're going to be there. We're going to represent. We're going to just bring this in to the community and let people know we are here. We want to do this. We want people to be aware of the lie-in. We want people to be aware that violence on college campuses and how easy it is to get guns is not acceptable. And we are here, and we've got a voice, and we're going to begin to use our voice. And we want to start by commemorating this day for these 32 victims. And also, we will receive victims from the family members of the 32 people that were killed at Virginia Tech.
Mm-hmm.
They are personally making ribbons in the Virginia Tech colors to send to the 32 people that participate. So it's going to be a wonderful thing. It's going to be a powerful impact. We got a great, dynamic young man that's going to speak. And when he speaks,
we hope so.
Never forget that voice.
That's right.
I still got to write it. We hope it's going to be good.
It's going to be a great day. So
it really is.
Please,
I better get there early. If you you said park at Bowman and take the shuttle, so I better,
right,
get there early.
That's right.
For that. Mm-hmm. Now you mentioned, Sharon, that for some of those people, and we would love for people to come over to Winston-Salem State to hear Busta and I and hear our presentation. But for,
right,
some of those people that can't make it to Winston-Salem State, it sounded like you said there is something going on at UNCG as well.
Right, UNCG, UNC Chapel Hill, and UNC Wilmington would be basically doing the same thing.
Okay, good deal.
Wonderful. Sharon, hang on the line for me. We got to take another quick break. I definitely want to talk more about this. And if I can, in terms of what I can contribute here for the station, Algernon, I want to get the same information on our website as well.
Okay.
And definitely announce it once I get back on Monday with Tom, Sybil, and Jay on the Tom Joyner Morning Show.
Wonderful.
And to really get our community to just to come together and to pull together, because this is what an event such as this is really about.
That's right.
Especially
that's right.
For families or persons who have become victims of a violent act.
Right.
To let them know that they have a great support system with what's going to be taking place at our various college campuses
here
in our state.
That's right. That's
wonderful.
Right.
Sharon, hang tight, darling. We're going to talk some more with you. Algernon, don't you go anywhere either. And the same for those of you listening to Saturday's edition of Community Focus. We will be right back after this commercial break here on the best R&B in old school and $5,000 every day. We are 97.1 QMG. And for the few minutes we have remaining here on Community Focus on the best R&B in old school and $5,000 every day, you can certainly give us a call here in the studio at 336-680-9710. Algernon Cash with me in the studio, and joining us by phone this morning, the very lovely, she swears she's never done this before, but I think she's doing a mighty fine job so far. Sharon Andrews is with Vigils for Healing again. Both Algernon and also Sharon are going to be on the campus of Winston-Salem State University doing what they can. And really for us to do our part as well as a community, bringing awareness to violent acts and ways that we as a community can prevent violence in our communities. And Sharon, Algernon, and myself and you, we were talking about this during the break, is how we actually can get our communities involved. So for those who would like to volunteer and perhaps become a part of Vigils for Healing, how can an individual go about doing just that, Sharon?
Actually, we do have a website, www.vigilsforhealing.com. You can go to our website and get our contact information. But also, with Algernon being on our board, mm-hmm. you can contact Algernon. And also, you can contact me, Sharon Andrews. I am the volunteer community outreach coordinator. It's 722-8355. And I will be glad to sign you up, tell you what we're about. And actually, we need more clergy. We really don't have as much clergy as we'd like to have. Right. So clergy, please call in, come in, put your little bit in, put your, not little bit, put your great worth in.
Absolutely.
Because anything that you do is a great asset. And you would be surprised. People are listening.
Yes.
Yeah, they are.
They're listening. And if you want to get out to the, if we're in the community, we're out on the street. People out on the street are not necessarily always going to be inside church.
That's true.
That's right.
So you can really make an impact with other speeches and other talks because people do listen. And these vigils do bring closure, and they make people think. And it's just a great thing. But please come out, attend our vigils, please. We have a Vigils Voices Choir. You can volunteer to be in the choir. There's just several things to be done. It's a full-time job, actually.
Yeah. And what I really, once again, what I really like about what they're doing is mm-hmm. they are truly out in the community. You know, earlier in the first half of the program, we were talking about neighborhood watches and some of what Michelle is doing in her neighborhood to prevent crime and prevent violent acts in her community. But I also love what Vigils for Healing is doing, too, because even once the crime and the act has occurred, they're doing a lot to draw attention to it. The vigils are well attended. And, you know, it was interesting. I actually found out about a friend of mine, a childhood friend of mine, that had been murdered, and I probably wouldn't have known if not for Vigils for Healing. I got an email from them, and I get emails from them whenever they're doing their vigils out in the community. And when I received this one email, I noticed I knew the guy. And this was a guy that I went to high school with. We ran track together. We played football together. And he had been murdered right across the street from his own home. Mm. So, you know, I ended up attending that vigil. But and then even to go deeper, I mean, actually getting involved with Vigils for Healing last year was how I met a gentleman, Dr. Fleming Alameen, who calls into Community Focus sometimes.
That's right.
And Dr. Alameen got me involved in a gang prevention rally. And that's how Busta and I ended up connecting. And that's how I joined you guys here at QMG. So. Vigils for Healing is doing a lot of different things in the community.
That's
so make sure you take a moment and check them out, research them. They are on YouTube now, so you can always go check out their video on YouTube if you want to learn more about them.
Oh, that is great. And Sharon, I think you said it best, especially what Vigils for Healing does is that it brings closure to the families. But I want to take this opportunity. Let's make this, with these last remaining minutes of the show, let's actually make this an altar call. For those who do listen to us here on Community Focus, is that when you do go to church in the morning, you know, put a buzz into to your pastor or to your minister or to your lay persons, even persons on the Usher board. I mean, just spread the word and let people know that, that Vigils for Healing is here. It is a part of our community. And we as a community, we really can become closer. And it's amazing how, unfortunately, through tragedy, it's also we interconnect.
That's right.
Because we may come to find that we may have a commonality with a person who does become a victim of a violent crime. You may find that, you know, say, for instance, Algernon, you and I may have known of a person through different avenues and through different aspects of our lives. But it's amazing how a lot of times we're really quick to notice the differences in each other.
Mm-hmm.
But it's amazing that when we come together as a community, how much of the same thing we share in common.
We put all that down for
exactly.
a moment. Yeah, we do. And we help build social capital by doing so. So I think these guys are hard at work in the community helping us to build social capital. Now, Sharon, you guys aren't quite in Greensboro yet, are you? You're still predominantly in Winston-Salem, is that
We're
right?
We're still predominantly in Winston-Salem. Actually, we've only been active 2 years. But I think we're making strides.
Excellent.
We're making strides.
All you need is the right volunteer power, and
then
you'll be in Greensboro. So hopefully some people are out there listening this morning that's going to go research you guys and check you out.
Yeah. You know, one of the great things that I would like to see, and I have a feeling this is going to happen, because if we continue to bring this subject matter to the forefront, which, by the way, Sharon, that's a hint, that I would like to get you in the studio to really talk more about Vigils for Healing, is to really see this organization grow to where we can perhaps have a triad chapter and represent all of the Piedmont Triad.
That's
Winston-Salem, Greensboro, High Point, and all of our surrounding cities.
And Sharon actually was going to come in the studio this morning.
Okay.
We sort of had some scheduling conflicts and some things got bumbled around, but she was eager to come over and join us here in the studio. So.
Okay, well, stay eager for the next time, because we're going to check that calendar and definitely get you in here, but I feel like I already know you, just talking with you by phone this morning.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Algernon, I don't know if you knew it or not, but you know the next morning after we had the vigil for Greg?
Yeah.
You know the young man that murdered Greg, turned himself in?
I heard that. Yeah,
so
I did hear
that. We were having some positive things.
Yeah.
I did. I did hear that. He turned himself in the next day. So that's extremely powerful.
Isn't that wonderful?
That is.
I mean, just those baby steps
great.
Okay.
Absolutely. It really is. And for those, Sharon and Algernon, as we're about to wrap up the program this morning and just maybe tuning into the tail end of our conversation, we want to remind our listeners that this Wednesday there will be a presentation again on the campus at Winston-Salem State University. You say it'll be at the clock tower, starting again at what time?
10:30.
At 10:30. Okay. And again, Algernon, like I said, if you can do me a favor, or either you, Sharon, give me this in sort of a press release form, so that way I can transpose the information and definitely put it on our station website.
And Sharon got a press release out, so I'll make sure I share that with you. And then once again, I mean, most importantly, if you come out to Winston-Salem State, we're really going to be talking about how we can truly start to change the tide, and you know, as far as violence in our community.
Right.
And once again, I mean, I'm definitely an advocate to reducing the access to some of our guns and that kind of thing. I'm definitely an advocate for police protection, but even more importantly than that, I think we have to begin to stop scratching the surface, and we got to start digging deeper, and we got to be willing to extend a hand to try to help people, help people to change their internal behavior, because we really got to ask the tough question, why would someone want to wake up in the morning and go hurt or kill another individual?
Right.
What is going on in their life that makes them want to do that? So we've got to stop scratching the surface, start digging deeper, and help people to come back in touch with their purpose. So
absolutely, and I think this is a great way to start, is by becoming a volunteer and becoming involved with Vigils for Healing.
That's right.
Well, Sharon, God bless you, and keep doing what you're doing, Miss Andrews.
Y'all have a great day.
You do the same. Thank
you
very
much. Get you some rest now.
That's right. It's going to be a big day come Wednesday.
All right.
All right, my dear. You take care. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Thank you, Sharon. Bye-bye. And Algernon, thank you. What a great way to come back after being gone for so many days. And just for myself, getting reconnected with our community, because I've missed everybody. I've missed you guys, so it really feels good to be back on familiar ground and familiar territory.
And welcome back, and
thank you.
Good to see that you're doing good.
I am. I've got an angel on my shoulder
that's
now,
right.
So
that's right.
Even though Grandma may be physically gone, spiritually she'll always be with me.
That's right.
That's right. So again, God bless you all for your thoughts and your prayers for me and my family. I'm back in the swing of things, and I'm really looking forward to getting back at it officially, not only tomorrow, Algernon, with my show on tomorrow afternoon, but especially when I get back with my radio family, Tom, Sybil, and Jay, on the Tom Jordan Morning Show. But in the meantime, it feels good to be back here on Community Focus. And thanks to all of you who tune in to really find out and to become involved as to what's going on in our community. And if you want to know, continue to know, that is, Algernon, they know they can always log onto the website as well at WQMG.com.
That's right.
And again, we will have the information about the vigil taking place on the campus of Winston-Salem State University. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great weekend. We got some good stuff in store. It includes the old school weekend show that brings those memories right back at you. It's known as the best of the Tom Joyner Morning Show. followed by all weekend long, all the best R&B and old school you can stand. And don't forget, you got $5,000 every day with that song of the day that you can win right here on 97.1 QMG. Algernon, have a great weekend.
All right, you too, Renee.
Thank you very much. And the same to you and yours. We will talk again soon, folks.